be a subject that shot at another subject, and the subject that was shot at ran over the suspect with the vehicle. OSP is en route.
The grass fire up by the water treatment plant going down in Oxford, and it's going to go quickly, and we're getting inundated with calls.
Welcome to the Scanner Group Crowdsourced Crime and Safety Podcast with Ryan Mellory and Jared Banry, coming to you from Thief Hunter Lab Studio near the Oregon-California border.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ryan Mellory.
And I'm Jared Banry.
And we're ready to get started here. So this week in Scanner Group Nation out there, we had a bike shop that's been burglarized before. You know, that bike shop, it's had enough. But you'll see a video play here in a little bit, and we're going to watch it with you. And you'll see how these guys busted out the lower half of the door. And pretty crazy stuff. But the weirdest part is they know what they're looking for, that's for sure.
That's usually indicative of somebody that's been in the shop and they've browsed.
Cased it before.
Yep. Yeah, this occurred at 4:38 in the morning. And as you can see on the video, that the guy knows exactly which bike he wants.
Mm-hmm. Expensive one.
Yep. That thing would probably go about $1,000. What kind of bike is it again?
Fitco, Fit Bike Co. And it has it on huge tires. It says it in big letters. It's kind of a matte gray frame. Expensive bike. Pretty sure it's more than $1,000. It should hit some kind of grand theft situation, especially if it's two. But one of the problems is these guys are pretty well covered, and they're moving fast, well orchestrated. So I tried six or seven times today to pause it on a face, and they're all just a blur because they're moving too quick, and I think they probably know that.
And they got those masks on, and yes, they have masks, and yes, it makes it difficult. But the bike... The bike is easy to spot. If you see that bike out and about, and you've got some suspicious looking characters with it, more likely than not, that's probably going to be the stolen bike.
Yeah, unusual, pretty cool looking BMX looking bike, big fat tires. That's a nice bike.
But this is the bike guy that's on Hopkins Road in Central Point, right next to the market. And so, to all of our Central Point members, keep a special lookout along the Greenway. And pretty much on the streets of Central Point, because definitely that kid wanted that bike. That's what he came in and took.
Best I could do when I was trying to steal it and get a shot is definitely both WMA, white male adults, and I would say definitely under 30 they look like to me. They could be a little older than that, but they're not terribly old. You know, more bad guys, looters. We talked about looters in our first podcast that we dedicated to the fires, and there was a bunch of looters during the fires, and now we're finally seeing some results. Looters got prison terms. So this last week, Cameron Mikhail Geiger, 29 years old, and you'll see their pictures up here, and Manuel Jerome Parks, 43, both got prison sentences.
That is... It's a smile on my face.
Justice. Love it. Cheshire cat grin. Bam. So Cameron Geyer got 34 months, and that's because the police found his fingerprints all over a bunch of homes near the fires and the homes that were burglarized. Stuff came up missing, and he got busted big time. 34 months. That's generally more than I see for somebody doing burglary.
Yeah.
And the other guy got 13 months. Hey, whatever these guys get, I'm glad they get to go visit some other prison inmates. That's fine with me.
Well, I think that Jackson County is starting to send a message out to people we're done.
Keep your hands off of our stuff.
You know, and especially a time of a disaster like that. You know, like we said on the first one, these guys, these idiots are going into these areas where people are not at home, and they're breaking into these homes, and they're for their own habits. I need my dope. I need this. I need that. And I wish there were more stories of street justice, but
after driving through my neighborhood every day, and you know, it chokes you up to see all your neighbors' houses burned down and know that these guys were doing this. I can't stop smiling about this one.
Oh, this one truly, truly brings joy.
Yeah.
To to anyone that knows that, you know, because we see a lot of these comments, they're just going to get a slap on the wrist. Well, they got a slap across the face up to the state penitentiary.
Yep.
You know, and it's about time.
Get on the bus, boys. You're getting a striped suit.
That's right.
I think they're orange in Oregon, but that's all right. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Measure 110, and not necessarily from a political thing. It's already passed, so we should discuss what that means.
The internet.
So I hear drugs are free, easy, and there are no repercussions. Is that right?
Well, I've read on the internet, and I'm telling everybody right now, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine is still illegal.
It's not legal, folks. This okay. is not your time to shine if you're a junkie. Don't do it.
It's still illegal. I have my own personal beliefs in regards to the spirit behind Measure 110, but we're not going to share those. What we're going to talk about is what is Measure 110 and what can we expect. It is still against the law to deal drugs. Drug dealers are not going to get a free ticket to go out there and be entrepreneurs within our communities. They're still going to get busted. The best in the business is still going to hunt them. They're still going to arrest them, and they're still going to incarcerate them.
Yeah. If you get caught and it's like your first time and you're not like totally backed up on past felonies and things like that, you might get a chance. You might get a chance where you're not going to be charged and you're going to be shown some addiction treatment services. Now, we'll talk about what we think about that too. But you're going to be shown a path, and that's your chance. And the second time you get caught with possession, it's going to be the felony. That's it. It's right in the rules. So you know, that first time bust, if you're one of those, learn from it. If you already have a stack of them on you, felonies, it doesn't apply to you. You don't get to walk away from a possession charge. And this is minor possession. This is a small user amount. This is residue. This is well under a gram, definitely. If you get caught with more than that, you're dealing, whether you think it's for your own personal use or not. And if more than a gram is for your own personal use, we'll slow down, definitely. We don't want you to overdose or anything like that. Well, but this isn't a free ride.
Yeah. Well, even with the reduction with the, they call it usable amounts. I refer to them as residue cases, you know, the meth pipe, the baggie with the residue where the police officer has to cut the corner of the bag off and throw it in the test kit. That stuff is going to be treated as an e-violation, which is a $100 fine. And as you're dealing with the e-violation and the $100 fine, that's when the addiction recovery offers start coming out, and they start offering these people, you know, drug courts, you know, rehab type things.
And there was money moved around in this from other things. Law enforcement and otherwise, but to make room for people to have additional services that don't exist right now, including some 24-hour response things. I think my biggest concern is that one-time possession is just going to be like a $100 speeding ticket. They're going to walk away from it, and these services are not going to exist for a while because it takes a long time to get money and turn them into some kind of usable service. You can ask any nonprofit out there how hard that really is.
Well, see, my whole thing is I for years I've heard about the marijuana tax. Mm-hmm. Where's the marijuana money?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it and put into use, and I would love to be educated on the marijuana tax. Where's the money come from, or where's the money being used?
I can tell you that it definitely is on retail, and all the retail doesn't happen here. It happens in the north half of the state. So
I was actually just looking at the stats of that, and a lot of it was going to schools, police, and then schools was a big chunk. That was probably the biggest one. And then it did say that a good portion was going to, like, drug rehab facilities, in quotations, because are those at?
So right. What you're saying is my kid's getting a high school education off marijuana money?
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe not now. Some of that probably got taken back.
It did. Measure 110
to give to the people that are strung out.
So. It took out a chunk of school funding as well as police funding, and I think there was one more thing it took a little bit out of, but I don't quite remember all the way.
Johnny doesn't need to read and write, but if he's got some crank on him, there's some service. Okay, so we'll joke about that, but I want people to get clean. I definitely want people to get clean, and I don't see this as all that damaging relative to the crime because, like people say, there's a revolving door there, and those small possession crimes, those are the ones that usually make it out of the jail fastest because there's not enough room. We want guys like the guy that was shooting at people to... to stay in that
jail. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, and as much as I like to clamp down, and I believe that there should be some serious penalties with these crimes, under our current state of affairs with jail space and the way that the laws are coming out of Salem, I'm not going to slip my wrists over this one. You know, I voted against it because I do believe when it comes to recovery that there has to be a desire from the addict to get the help and not...
Recovery counselors will tell you that. Yeah. You gotta want it. You have to want to do it. I mean, nobody can make you. It is a free country. So if you want to like push around a shopping cart around the park and babble to the trees and stuff later in life, stay on that path. I mean, the choices are horrible. The choices are that, like, drug psychosis, going insane and wandering the streets, trying to find a way to get drugs. Mm-hmm. Overdose, horrible. We see it happen. Every now and then we see a fentanyl lace this or that, or a bath salts lace this and that, and it trips people out, messes them up, kills them. And getting shot, stabbed, taken advantage of, raped, murdered in a drug deal. Those are all horrible choices. The other choices in between then are staying high and hiding from what you're really trying to cover up with the drugs rather than addressing it so you can move forward in life.
Exactly. You know, and I've had the opportunity to talk to some parents whose child is in active addiction. And they've been some of the IDs. They've been some of the people that we've highlighted on the page. And it breaks your heart because, you know, and we've discussed about, we've said something about this on every episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get our member that says, hang them, kill them, shoot them, you know, this POS and so on and so forth. And as a parent, that's really got to suck.
Yeah, they might be a criminal, but they're still human, guys.
Daily. Sometimes the families see those before we can get rid of them. And I read one today, and it was about Tyler Chicano. So I'm putting the picture up because Tyler is an example of somebody that has those two or more drug felonies where there is no free ride for residue or small personal amounts. It's a felony for Tyler Chicano. Now, Tyler Chicano has more than 50 arrests. I'd love to see this guy get clean. He's 27 freaking years old, and his family is tortured by it. His sister jumped on there, and she was tortured by the stuff that people are saying because, lo and behold, I have to work, and I couldn't clean them all up by then, and you have to work, and we couldn't clean them all up by then. So she's got to see people say, hang her brother. Okay, not really a hanging stage here. But if this law was enacted first time he got caught, maybe. If all those services were available,
he's got a door open.
Maybe I'm willing to be open to seeing it perform. If it doesn't perform, I'll be calling that too.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. You know, I don't mind somebody being compassionate.
No.
Okay. I don't mind it, but you can't make the excuse. Okay. We see that addiction, people call it a disease. I disagree. Okay, because cancer comes and finds you. You have to go find the drug, okay? I do believe that people are predispositioned where they can become addicts easier than others. Yeah. But I have to put the needle in my arm. I have to put the pipe in my mouth. I have to, you know, and an addiction goes well beyond drugs. People are addicted to video games. People are addicted to chocolate. People are addicted to, you know.
I like some food, some sugar, yeah, all that stuff. Let me drink this dress, bros.
But you have to hold these people accountable, and that's where I disagree with my more kind-hearted friends that kids – you know, as you're raising a child, if your child's not afraid of consequences, they're going to push the parent.
Yep.
And there has to be consequences there. And giving the easy way out, and that's kind of the spirit of the law that this was written, is that we want to decriminalize and love these people into addiction. Okay, I disagree with that. And I have that right to disagree.
You know what? My field of education, what I studied in college is psychology, and the industry that I wanted to be a part of says it's a disease. Uh-huh. I see where they make that migration from choices being made to now you're addicted to it and it is taking over your mind. But I'll call it a created disease. Mm-hmm. But I can't agree with the industry that I studied for. Mm-hmm. I just can't agree with it, and the situation where somebody is turbo addicted, and I tried for a long time, and I still try to help people that way privately when we're calling them out, still trying to get them some help. It's few and far apart. They have to really want to do it. But the ones that do are on fire. 20-some people, personal experience with chatting with them and them getting clean. I didn't get them clean. They got themselves clean. Right. All I did was, like, talk to them and give them somebody that cares and those kind of things. When they're at that stage, all about that. When they're getting picked up for possession, theft, those kind of things, they're not at that stage. So I'm not all about that at all.
Yeah, sometimes all people need is a little support. And then they'll make it through.
I'm all for a hand up. I'm even for a handout in some ways, but I'm not for coddling. I'm not for codependence. I'm not gonna share in any of that stuff.
And I know some amazing people that are recovered addicts.
Yeah.
That absolutely just they love life. They love their communities. They want to share. They want to reach out and they want to help people.
Strong. Somebody that has kicked heroin is strong as hell.
Yep.
You got to be strong to put that stuff away. And generally, when they come across other difficulties in life later after they're, you know, deep into recovery, working, happy, and that kind of stuff, the little things that bother the rest of us do not bother them. They've seen way worse. They're like, that just slides off. Not a big deal.
And I'm going to make a challenge to anyone who is watching right now. I'm interested in knowing why you started.
Yeah.
What caused you to start? What caused you to take that first hit? You know, was it something that you suffered as a child? Was it I'm in college and I'm trying to stay awake?
I've heard a lot of stories. A guy that was a motocross guy, busted up locally, got addicted through the doctor. And, you know, when the doctor and the insurance runs out and you're still in pain, you might still go get some of that. But by the end of it, you're buying it illegally because it's cheaper that way, and it's because you have the addiction, not necessarily the pain. There are people out there that are in a ton of pain, and they may be addicted to stuff like that, but if it's not coming from a prescription, you've gone far beyond.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a member on our page that I had a nice discussion with, Tanya Bender.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a son that is active in his addiction, and he is spending some time at county, and I believe that they may actually be looking for him right now. But she wanted to host an event where parents and loved ones of people that are dealing with people in active addiction can come to, and they could talk, where they're not being ridiculed, they're not, you're a horrible parent, you did this, you did that. And a lot of these parents that and especially like Tanya, they were afraid to come out and say stuff on the Facebook page because we have a lot of opinionated members. We still love you.
Yep.
But we're not looking for your opinion.
I'm definitely not looking to beat up any family members on there. I'm terrified about what they have to deal with. And we have somebody in our family that's like that, that's serving his second prison term right now.
And off of Tanya's request, Ryan and I assisted her in creating a Facebook page called Families of Addicts Support Talk, or it's called FAST. And it currently has 155 members, and the page was designed so you can come on and realize that you're not alone. When you are on the scanner page and you see a overdose, all those feelings, all those, is it my daughter, is it my son, is it my niece or my nephew, all those fears that you have, you can discuss on this page. And these are people that will understand.
Yeah.
They will understand those fears. They will understand. And it's a place for you to vent. It's a place for you to ask for help.
If you have a sense of loss, a sense of guilt, a weight just waiting on your shoulders, waiting for the day somebody calls you about your loved one, it's a good group of people for you to go be around. I go chit-chat with them and those kind of things. You'll feel better at it. I'm pretty touched by some of the conversations.
That go on there.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, to reiterate, hard drugs are not legal.
They're not legal.
In this state, your drug teams are going to be running the streets. Your, you know, MADGE and all these units are looking for the drug dealers.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some, you know, when you drive down Riverside or Barnett and you see like little groups of, we know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I, I'd love to just hear the conversations when they found out that passed, because you know how when somebody's strung out, what they hear and believe in their mind, it just gets so contorted. And I've heard the strangest stories from somebody that's addicted. They're just out there. I imagine it was, did you hear? It's all legal now, bro.
And I'm sure that the MPD and all these other units or all these other agencies are going to have those experiences where somebody's going to say, oh, man, it's legal. I can have it. Yeah, I got drugs. And they're going to be, well, no.
Yeah, no, no.
But now that you told me, you can go. And I'm not trying to warn all you drug users out there.
You know what I think we should do? We'll make some phone calls and see if we can get a law enforcement officer or somebody that's very familiar with 110 in here to talk about it above the level we really can without. I tried reading through the thing. It's not fun reading. I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely not an enjoyable read. But as tonight, from the layperson's understanding of 110, we're letting everyone know that the hard drugs are not legal.
No.
That drug dealers are not free to express themselves. We're not going to have heroin stores opening up. It's not going to be like the marijuana industry. This is decriminalizing residue amounts.
This is not Amsterdam. You are still living in the USA.
Yes, and even Oregon.
So one of the other things that's going on that we wanted to talk about is homelessness and like how that's treated specifically in the city of Medford, because that's the county seat where most of the problems happen, because where most of the population is, and that's where all the county offices and things that people need to get to in their life, no matter what state their life is in, whether you're paying a mortgage or you need to go pay a ticket or worse, go to a court case or something like that. Everybody's got to show up in downtown Medford. Homelessness, the livability team, I think it's called.
Yes.
With Medford. And they do quite a bit. They're not just about clearing out the greenway and those kind of things, although they participate in that stuff too.
No, we have some opposition that supports the homelessness, or what they like to call it, the houseless. And they don't agree with what the livability team does. But what the livability team does is they take somebody off the streets and they give them avenues and options to follow to get them housing, to get them food, to get them the health care that they need, and to assist them to get back up on their feet. And MPD is kind of taking the lead in trying to be very compassionate while yet they have a law that they have to enforce. And that law is if you're in an area that is protected and you're not allowed to camp, you're going to get moved.
I would consider Medford Police Department and the city of Medford, and I don't mean the political sense of the word, but the dictionary sense of the word, pretty progressive in how quickly they address these things. I mean, they address them pretty quickly, and there was lots of hubbub over the homeless encampment that took over Hawthorne Park.
Yeah.
And I think I heard that they placed 85% of those folks, and they can't place people who, just like you can't cure an addict that doesn't want to get clean, you can't make somebody move someplace safer if they don't want to. So they could kick them out of the park because that was part of the rule, but where they live now, a different spot on the greenway, who knows. Medford is providing places for people that are homeless to live.
There's been a lot of success stories out there of people that were once homeless that now have shelter, they have places to live, and now they're taking advantage of the opportunities out there to gain employment and start caring for themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't
that's the good stuff.
But the thing I don't understand is why would you oppose a group that is coming in and taking people out of one location, which is, horrendous living conditions, and putting them in a safe place where they're protected, they have food, they have running water, they have running toilets, and assisting them in getting back up on their feet. How is that cruel and unusual?
Well, and providing something like the Kelly Shelter. Love it or hate it, there's 65 spots there. And Hope Village, which, I know a guy that works at Hope Village, great guy, excellent addiction counselor and those kind of things. That's 50 people and, like, new tents, safe living conditions, clean living conditions, treatment, help, people to talk to. all those things, not everybody in their right mental state will do those. I realize sometimes that's a mental state, but when we're talking about the homeless population, we also need to realize that there is a certain percentage of the houseless or homeless population that is doing no good.
Yeah.
Sex offenders not staying registered, drugs, theft, violence. You wouldn't send your sister or daughter down the trail at night, right?
No, I'm not letting my wife and kids walk down the greenway in the evenings, because there are people that are insane.
Yeah,
I mean, people totally that are suffering from horrible, horrible, mental health conditions. They're having mental health episodes. All you have to do is just drive around the streets of Medford, and you'll see people screaming at themselves, blocking traffic, stepping out in traffic. We've heard a bazillion times the name Brittany Oxford come across the scanner, and she is a very young person suffering from serious mental issues, and she's going to get herself hurt. She's approaching traffic.
We come up against state law, so yeah, we want to help people that are addicted. Yeah, if they want treatment, we want to help them. And do we want to help people that are homeless or houseless? Yeah, we want to help them. Now, first question we already asked, do they want to be helped? The answer to that, if their answer is no, is in this state, you cannot force them to do any of that. You can't force them to go to recovery. You can't force them to get mental treatment or anything like that. So they can walk the street and do whatever they want. And it's not a problem until they cause harm to themselves or somebody else.
Exactly.
So harming themselves, try to commit suicide a couple of times, and they might actually make you go someplace to get treatment. Try to kill somebody, and if you didn't end up in prison, they might make you get some help.
And we've had a lot of serious incidents that have occurred along the Greenway at the homeless camps with people that are fighting over just the basic necessities of life, and they end up knifing each other. They end up, major fist fights using weapons. In the past 5 years, I can think of probably 7 or 8 incidents we've had on the Greenway where it was attempted murder.
Yeah.
And
a friend of mine used to ride the Greenway all the time and told me stories about getting stopped by somebody and them holding them handlebars and by saying something about paying a toll to the troll to get by. The guy's joking about it. I'm a bum on the Greenway and I want some money out of you before you can ride by me. Nope. That's not freedom.
Nope. Being afraid, being afraid of something that the Greenway is a good thought.
Yeah.
It's a good thought. It's a beautiful place.
I used to love it.
It's a place where you can walk and enjoy nature. Well, right now we're enjoying charcoal, but, it's a place that was originally created that we can have family time, and it's become a haven of just filth.
Yeah.
And for people to be upset that law enforcement is trying to go in, give these people help, get them off the Greenway, is absolutely ludicrous.
The city of Medford allotted some property in a couple of different locations to try to help with it, and the total there is 115 human beings that they have space for in those two facilities. That seems like a lot of help to me. Mm-hmm. That's 115 people that don't need to live on the Greenway, that's for sure. And, I don't understand the mentality entirely, because if I was in that situation, which I don't know, if I had some kind of mental problem pop up in life and I ended up clear in that situation, I just don't understand how people wouldn't just claw to get one of those 115 steps up.
And the people that were in Hawthorne Park that were not mentally ill, that were there because of the fires, took that help because they're not.
Heck yeah.
They're not ill. They realize, okay, they're telling me where to go. They're telling me how I can get my help. I'm going to take it.
Yep.
Because I don't want to live like this.
Yeah.
Nobody chooses, okay, well, today I'm going to go out and I'm going to live under the bridge because I want to.
Yeah.
Either you're burned out and you don't know where to go, or you have some issues. You're hiding from law enforcement. You're hiding from family because you're trying to hide your addiction. Or you just are mentally ill and that's the only life that can support you.
Yeah, I feel bad for folks that are in that situation, but I think that specific situation, just mentally ill, completely mentally ill, because drugs and mental illness often go hand in hand, and it could be the cart before the horse or the other way around for all we know. chicken or the egg, however that works. But very seldom is it somebody that just has mental illness and is not doing other things, whether that be drugs or crimes or whatnot. So when we pare it down, everybody that made it into one of those beds, that's a step up. They don't have to steal to support that part.
That's right. And we will be asking, we're going to be contacting MPD. We're going to be asking a member of the livability team to come in and to share these types of stories, share their goals, their views, and to talk firsthand on the issue that we are all concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We have some guests planned and those kind of things, and we'll leave it at that. But we want to talk about some of this 110 stuff. To find out, like, directly from law enforcement how that's going to be handled. And then there was something that came up with a law enforcement officer at Walmart.
Yeah, Eagle Point Walmart.
It was an arrest. It made it around the internet. I think we kind of kept it out of Scanner Group because there was lots of speculation as to what went down. But a woman that was arrested, and the video claimed it was her husband taking the video for not wearing a mask. And when I looked at the video, like, it comes in at a point where I didn't get to see what went on beforehand.
Beforehand, yeah.
But, I mean, just in my mind, from what I know about how things work, that would be an arrest for disorderly conduct or trespassing. Like, either you got pissed off and threw a tantrum and you were disorderly. And, you know, even if you're disorderly that way, usually they just match you. They don't want to arrest you. They'll let you march right out the door, leave everybody alone, and get the heck out of there if you threw a tantrum. But or trespassing, because you just would not leave when you were asked. So do I like wearing a mask? Nope. Addison, you like wearing masks?
Only on definitely.
Just on Halloween, right?
Not even. I think it ended up being trespassing, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they got her for trespassing. Because on the video, she's not out of hand.
No.
Right. She just won't leave.
And maybe she never was, but it is a private business. Mm-hmm. And if a private business wants you to leave the premises because of the policies they've set, and those policies are very much relative to what our state governor lays down. So you think about a business the size of Walmart or Costco or some of the big box stores out there, if they have a problem at one of their stores with how they manage their policy, our government will come down on them on every store across the board. So if there's fines and they're using the same policy and the same things are happening, they're just letting people not abide by it, they could have huge fines at every store across the nation.
Yeah, you know, people need to understand that private property, okay, there's a premise open to the public where people have the right to be. And when I put that open sign, it's a premise open to the public because I'm inviting you to come. Now, there are places that are membership, like a Costco. You have to have a membership to be there. You can't just go in.
Like Scanner Group.
That's right. You can't just go in and do your thing. But a Walmart, a Fred Meyer, those are all privately owned establishments that have rules. Now, these big box stores have a corporate office that sets the rules. So our governor says this is the way it is. COVID cases are coming up. She tightens it up. The box stores have to tighten it up. And this woman did not want to wear a mask. And like I said, I don't know what happened before that video camera came on. But what I do know is she was not arrested and charged for not wearing the mask.
Nope.
She was charged for trespass. And what trespass is when you remain unlawfully upon a premises that is privately owned. My home, a 7-Eleven. You don't have the right to say, I'm not leaving. If a representative of that store says that you must leave and you refuse, you will be criminally charged for trespass. Now, where the funniness in this comes out for me is the mask. the law enforcement officer did not have his mask pulled up.
Oh, yeah, people are... He didn't have a mask on, but he's arresting her for not wearing a mask. Well, okay, he's not arresting her for not wearing a mask. He's arresting her because she won't get the hell out of their store.
Well, Eagle Point Police Department put out a statement in regards to what had occurred. And you can go to their Facebook page and you could read their words. It's a fairly long statement. I'm not going to read it to you. But what I'm going to tell you is, if you have experience with the mask, you do know that even turning your head can cause a mask to slide off your face. And when you're having a conversation with somebody that is a little heated or a little bothered because they feel that their rights are being infringed upon, being forced to wear these masks, you're not concentrating on, oh, gee, the mask is falling out of my face and the general public is going to be upset with me, okay? And the officer could have pulled it down a little bit more because it kept falling and he needs to take care of the situation. The officer had the mask on when he entered Walmart. The officer had the mask on when he made initial contact with the woman. And the officer had the mask on when he left the store. Enough is enough with the silliness of he's arresting her for the mask. No, he's not. His mask slid off. Your mask slides off when you walk into a retail store. So just stop. This is absolutely getting ridiculous.
Like I said, I don't like the masks.
I hate them too.
I wear them. Here's where I wear them. I wear them into a business that requires them, which is most businesses, out of respect for the owners of the business and the employees, because I don't want to put the employees and the owner in the situation of policing. Because that's not what they do, and I don't think they should have been put in that situation in the first place. But if you don't like the mask thing, I agree with you. Write the governor. Write your governor. She's the one holding us back. You do that. I would be happy with that. What I do is I don't go any places I don't want to. Same as before.
That's right.
If I don't like the place, I'm not going to bother wearing a mask.
I'm
not
going to go in. I'm just going to go.
But, you know, the other thing about the masks is people make claims to medical and mental health reasons that they can't wear a mask. I agree. I do know people that shouldn't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. They're going to hyperventilate if they wear a mask because of bad past traumas and those kind of things. Well, and also people that have breathing difficulties, mm-hmm. emphysema or asthma or things like that. You got to make some other arrangements, definitely, for that because Kate Brown has told us that that no longer counts. So I can't help you with that. And Walmart can't help you with that. What they can help you with is, not getting disorderly or telling them you won't leave their store. Just try to make other arrangements. You can buy the stuff online and pick it up. There's lots of other ways to make things happen. It's not because everybody wants to come in down on you. I agree. Don't want to wear the mask. Other people really want to wear the mask. We're going to have to get through it.
Well, I work for an establishment that mandates a mask right now. I have to wear a mask. I don't like the masks. I don't agree with the masks. And I think that my personal beliefs or things have kind of got blown out of proportion. But I love my job. Yeah, I love my company. And I love the business that I work for. So if they tell me to wear a mask, I'm putting a stinking mask on.
You're getting paid. If you wanted a job there tomorrow and they said part of the job is you got to wear a mask, you'd still take the job, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when I have to talk with people about the mask, they believe that we are evil.
The difference really just comes to it's a private company. They're just following the governor's rules that she set. Exactly. They're just respect the company. It's not their fault that they're making you wear a mask, all right? They have to or they're going to get fined.
That worker doesn't want to talk to you about masks. Nope. They don't.
They don't. They probably don't like them either. They're probably annoyed that they got to do it all day.
Rip the thing off when they get in their car.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, though, is a lot of these people that call me a sheep because I am, you see these memes on Facebook with all the sheep wearing masks and the lions wearing Trump hats, my friends, your friends type thing. You're not screwing the man by arguing with me about it.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want to write a check and pay me, I'll enforce your rule.
There you go.
But you don't want to pay me. You're in an establishment where we have had people from the state come in and monitor and take pictures, seeing how we're enforcing these laws. And I'm sorry, if you're going to mess with my family and the way that I provide for my family, the only person that you're screwing is me. You're not screwing the governor. You're not screwing the state. When you tell me, why do you follow? Because I make a good living and I like my company. I like my job. And yep. They tell me to wear the masks. And they say that if you come in, you have to wear the mask too.
The enforcers of these rules from our government are definitely OSHA.
Yeah.
Employment safety mm-hmm. type stuff. And things like OLCC. I found that out when we threw a concert. That if we want to have drinks at the concert, OLCC manages that. But those are enforcement bodies. And as much as people, you know, you say OSHA and people go, oh, OSHA, OSHA, OSHA. If you talk to a contractor about OSHA, you see them start to like, oh, turn red and stuff like that. I understand, but those are enforcement. So the difference between enforcement and legislation is where you guys have a problem. Mm-hmm. Go beat up your legislators. Go beat up your governor. The people that come out to enforce the laws, they got a book of laws given to them by the legislators. And if they don't do their job, they will find another person that will do that job. So here's the book. You're not wearing a mask. There's no tape on the floor in your store. Here's your fines.
Yep.
Yeah, if you hate masks that much, just know it's not the companies. It's mostly Kate Brown.
Yeah, or get some kind of cool mask where people don't really know that you can breathe through it. That's kind of what I want to do. I'd like one that's made out of mesh. maybe a paintball mask.
I'm just going to get one that strings, but it looks like it's connected, so it looks like it's
it's just fully there. It's heartbreaking when, you know, all you're trying to do is provide a living for your family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not living off the state. I'm not getting welfare. I don't have an EBT card. You know, and those programs are to help struggling families. And because I work for who I work for, I don't fall into the category of a struggling family.
Five days a week, at least 40 hours a week, and on call if they need you.
That's right.
You're there, right?
Yeah, I'm there, and I have to enforce things. And I'll be talking to a fellow conservative. We believe the same exact thing. And this guy's yelling at me to high heaven, and basically all I have to say is, you'll put the mask on or you're going to go out in handcuffs, just like Walmart.
I think I know why it gets to that stage, and I think part of that is the person that's making the decision, and I say the person because now things have gone on a little bit differently in other states. The governor, talking to the governor is unattainable, so these people can't, like, rah, at the government. They can send an email. They can make a phone call, but they're not going to get as much gratification because they'll never stand in front of anybody in person. So you become the target.
Yeah, they need somebody to yell at.
How do you like being the target?
Well, being the target's not fun, but I'm going to tell you right now, okay? And I want everyone to hear my voice when I say this. If the state of Oregon says that you will wear a mask when you go into an establishment, the establishments are going to enforce what the governor has asked. End of discussion. You could throw out all your keyboard funny meme statements and call people sheeps and Karens and all this type stuff, but I am going to provide a living for my family.
Yep.
You are not going to come into my business and cause my business to get shut down because we're not following. The only person that you're messing with is your neighbor. Is your friend who works at a retail store. It is the retail people that you've shopped at their stores for years and years and years. Those are the only people that you're hurting. You're not hurting the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon doesn't care if you shop there.
And based on the video I saw from Eagle Pipe Walmart, if you're going to battle that out, and, like, do you really want to get hauled off in cuffs for trespassing? That just seems like such a farce, like taking it way too far. If somebody doesn't want me in their business that bad, ain't going. I don't need to do business with somebody that doesn't want me in their business, first of all. But I'm probably not going to be that obstinate when I walked by the sign that says you can't come in without a mask.
Yeah.
Also, not to mention, you said you're not attacking the government by walking into an establishment. Actually, if anything, you're helping them because they get a nice payout if somebody gets caught without a mask in the store. So just so you guys know, but literally by going into a store and not wearing a mask, you're probably helping.
That store's not getting the fine money if they get in trouble, that's for sure.
Exactly.
And neither is the public. So.
And it's just, you know, seriously, think about what you're doing. If you don't want to wear a mask, utilize the programs that these stores have. Call up Walmart's online. They'll bring it out to your car and they'll load it into your car for you.
Most of the bigger stores have some kind of pickup type thing going on.
Costco runs an Instacart where you can order online with Instacart and they'll deliver it to your homes.
I know Freddy's will bring stuff out to you. All the food places will definitely bring stuff out to you. But if you want to have food, you know, you just walk in and order a glass of water on the way to the table.
That's right.
The next thing you know, you're not wearing a mask and you're eating pleasantly in a booth by yourself, away from other people. What I've always liked in restaurants, that all works out okay.
And I'm probably going to piss somebody off by saying this, but you're not a patriot when you stand there and you're yelling at me.
Yeah.
You're a problem.
That's true. I mean.
I agree with you. You're trying to shoot the messenger.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're a mask lover, that's great too. You just wear your mask to your heart content. I see you wearing it in your car by yourself. I see you wearing it while you're jogging and riding a bike. If you are just woohoo mask, we're not trying to piss you off either. It's okay. Wear a mask, and definitely in Walmart, wear a mask.
Well, the police don't want to arrest you. No. That's the last thing the police want. The police are not sitting there at a retail store going, where'd they get a mask with today?
People joke about cops eating donuts. I bet they wish they had time to eat donuts all day because I only see them running constantly and hear them running on the scanner.
Well, I'm going to make a request to a friend of mine who is a sergeant with MPD who runs a team. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a request for him to come in and talk about
What goes on in a patrol day? Yeah, that would be great.
So people understand how calls for service happen.
That would definitely be fun.
You know, it has to go to dispatch. It goes on to the MDTs.
I want to hear about he's a command chief or something like that.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. Yep. Definitely. I would really like to hear about that position, being a command chief. And there's a billion calls coming in. Not a billion, but you know, that's in numeric. A bunch of calls are coming in. They're all going different places, but then a higher priority call comes in. Yep. And you know, like people get annoyed that they didn't get called back because their CD case got stole out of their car when they left their car unlocked. Oh, yeah, they want to make a report for you. And they'll be by or they'll be calling you to make a report and that kind of stuff. But there was probably some other things in line there. So if it didn't happen until the next morning when you left the door open and you left your crap in the car, there will be a report. There won't be anybody taking fingerprints or anything like that. There's no time or money to send away.
Are you victim shaming?
I am, huh? I did.
He just victim shamed.
Should we strike that rule?
I don't know.
Once I do it, I think I have to strike the rule.
But this is a podcast, so we're not, you know, there's nobody's name up above there.
I'll put a mark on the board. He victim shamed one time.
I think you still, people should leave your crap alone, whether it's unlocked or not, and if you leave in their car, but that can't be priority.
I'm just trying to have fun. Gosh.
If you're, I guess I'm shaming victims into knowing that they are not priority if it's a minor crime.
Seriously. You can't be expecting the police to rush out to you when your car was broken into when there's a shooting happening or something wild.
You can't reduce funding to give people who are addicted more treatment and not buy a jail that's worthy of the size of the population and think that a lot of priorities are going to happen the way you think they should. Give me a break. It doesn't pencil out, folks. Just like when you pay your mortgage, your power, and stuff like that, and you get down to the bottom and there's X money left or X money not left, same thing with the police and their time and how many criminals they can actually put in jail.
Well, they've got a, you know, we had an incident a couple of weeks ago where we had somebody that was highlighted on the scanner page. A patrol unit seen the guy, so they go into the bowling alley to try to contact this guy. Well, right as the time they're entering the bowling alley, here's a homeowner that's chasing somebody with a gun. So okay, I'm gonna get this guy for petty theft, or I'm gonna go save this guy's life because he might get himself shot. So you know, they have to prioritize the calls, and so one unit in a beat might have four calls coming at one time. They got to stack them, and that's what the command chief will talk about, is stacking calls and prioritizing, you know, their responses.
And if they get something like a robbery and a runner, an elude that's blowing through Medford at 100 miles an hour, that's going to kill somebody. Yeah, they reprioritize everybody towards finding that guy.
Yep, they gotta stop the threat to life.
Yeah, that's a bigger
protect
threat.
Human life, and then they'll get to the other calls when available. And I will have to say, there are agencies out there in this state that won't respond to certain calls just because they don't have time. MPD, Central Point, they do wonderful jobs. The county, they'll get to you.
You're not going to get the sheriff's department historically to respond to Butte Falls on vandalism or something petty or, they're not going to take a 40-minute drive each way to fill out a report for you there. They'll put it on file,
call it in. They have online services that are available for that so they can investigate.
Yeah. I think we should wrap it up.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll be back with some special guests over the next couple of podcasts that you're going to want to tune in to. And until then, drugs are not all of a sudden legal.
Peace out, bro.
Thanks for watching.
Yeah, oh, man.
Thanks for tuning in to the Scanner Group Crowdsourced Crime and Safety Podcast with Ryan Mallory and Jared Bannery from Thief Hunter Labs. Make sure to subscribe today for notifications about the next show. Visit us at www.thiefhunterlabs.com or on Facebook as Thief Hunter Labs in the search bar.